As you're able, if you'll stand, we're going to read God's Word. If you're using a pew Bible, you can find it on page 1239. We're going to read just the New Testament passage to start. We'll come back to that Old Testament passage later on in the sermon. This is God's Word from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field.
The grass withers, and the flowers fade. Shall stand forever.
Amen. You may be seated, and our children are dismissed to Children's Church. We are in a series on the fruit of the Spirit. We've been going through this series for a few weeks now, and we have arrived at the fruit of faithfulness. Faithfulness. Now, whenever we do these sermons on the fruit of the Spirit, I feel like they all fall into kind of a similar situations, follows a similar pattern. One, we want to identify what the word means. What does it mean to be faithful? And then we want to talk about application or how that applies both to God and to us in our new life in the Spirit. So what does it mean to be faithful? Well, it means to be, if faith means to trust or to rest or to receive, then to be faithful is to be someone who is trustworthy, someone that you can rest in. We talk a lot about faith with the communicants. We talk about faith like a chair, right? I sit a chair in front of them and I say, it's one thing to say that I believe this chair will hold me up. It's quite another thing for me to actually sit in it. I rest in it, in its strength to hold me up. To be faithful is to be trustworthy, to be reliable. There's at least two parts of being faithful, as we read in the Scripture. The first part is consistency, and the second part is honesty. First, consistency. What does it mean that to be faithful is to be consistent? Well, in Wyoming, they have a geyser, and the geyser erupts every either 65 or 91 minutes, depending upon the length of the previous eruption. And you can set your watch by it. And what do they call it? I call that Old Faithful, right? I call it Old Faithful. To be consistent is to not change. To not change. When we talk about God's consistency, when we think about His faithfulness, we're really talking about a theological term called His immutability. The fact that He does not change. That is a reassuring quality of God. Just two passages that underscore that truth, although there are many of them. Numbers 23:19 said, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? In Ezekiel 24:14, it says, God says, I am the Lord, I have spoken, it shall come to pass, I will do it, I will not go back. I will not spare, I will not relent. According to your ways and your deeds, you will be judged, declares the Lord God. God faithfully does not change. Now, what does that mean? Okay, here's what it means. God is not wishy-washy. He is not capricious. He is not one way on this day and another way on the next day. And there is great confidence in that. Because many of you have dealt with people, or you may even be the kind of person who is one person on one day and the other person on the next day. Or maybe you're married to a person who's one person on one day and one person on the other day. A lot of you are not in your head, so even married couples are not about each other. But that's neither here nor there. The point is that God is not like that. That the way He is the way He is. That He is a solid rock. He is not shifting sand. And through the Spirit's work in our life, we are called to reflect God's consistency. This is why if you read James, James says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be consistent. That is a reflection of the fact that we serve a consistent God. Through the Spirit, we reflect His consistency. The second part of faithfulness, it's not only is God consistent, but He's also honest. He's also honest. I'm going to tell the older people in here a few things really quick. And it's going to make the younger people cringe, and I'm glad that it is. So I want you to know that right now. You know, when young people don't believe you these days, you know, every generation has slang, right? And all of it is stupid, except for my generation, of course. But when young people these days, when they don't believe you, they don't say, that is not true, or I don't believe you. They say, that's cap. That's cap. And that means that you're lying. And all you older people, I want you to start implementing that in your vocabulary. Just tell your when your grandchildren say, like, oh, I remembered you on Mother's Day. Be like, that's cap. You forgot me. Just do it. Because what will happen is they will cringe at you doing it, and then it'll be out of here. We'll get rid. That's how you get rid of slang. It's by, you know. But the opposite is true as well. They have slang for when they agree too, right? They don't say like verily or indeed or amen. They don't say that. They say facts. That's facts. Facts. When you say something that they believe is true, they say facts. And that is what God is. That's the second element of God's faithfulness, is that He is honest. He is true. What He says, He stands by. The Scriptures tell us this. In other words, God doesn't just simply tell us what we want to hear. Many people in your life will simply just tell you what you want to hear. But God tells us the truth. Think about how Paul spoke to the Corinthians. Paul wrote this to a church. Imagine if I wrote this to Trinity Church. I don't equate myself with Paul, but just a minister writing to church. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. Later on in the same book, in chapter 11, he lists all these sins. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And he lists all these sins that people practice. And then at the end, he says, thank goodness you're not like them. No. Instead, what he says in verse 11 of chapter 6 is he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed and you were sanctified and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. God faithfully tells us the truth. He does not flatter us. He does not simply affirm us. Right? He tells us the truth. Read Ezekiel 16 sometime if you have the stomach for it. God says to His people, you were like a baby that someone threw out in the field and no one wanted you. And I came by and I told you, while you were wallowing in your blood, live. God tells us the truth about ourselves. And if the Spirit is working in our lives through the Spirit's work, we are called to reflect God's honesty, to speak the truth in love, as it says in Ephesians 4. And just real quick application about that. The first thing is, that is not a license to tell people off or to give them a piece of your mind and then say, well, I'm just spitting facts or I'm just telling the truth. That is not what we're called to. Because God speaks the truth in love. He does so with gentleness. But we are called to speak the truth to those that we love. And let me be very clear here. And I would normally just say this to the teenagers, but I'm going to say it to the adults too. I think this is something that we all need to hear, that I need to hear. you cannot consider yourself a faithful friend of anyone whom you are not willing to confront, whom you're not willing to hold accountable. Sometimes being faithful, being honest, means having to have a hard conversation with someone. To say in love, you've got to stop this or you've got to start this, or I want to help you. We are called to reflect God's consistency, and we're called to reflect God's honesty. And we do, that's what it means to be faithful. We do this all by the work of the Spirit. And that's my second point for this sermon. There are only two. I want to talk about God's faithfulness versus our faithfulness. I talked about this with the high school students the other night, that, and not to bore you with grammar, but there's two kinds of sentences, at least two kinds of sentences. There are more than two, but the start with the letter I. There's the indicative and there's the imperative. The indicative is a statement of being. You have on a white shirt. You have long hair. You live in Montgomery. These are indicative. This says something about who you are. Then there is imperative. That's when I tell you to do something. Go call 911. It's classic imperative, right? Sit up straight. Don't bite your fingernails. Say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. You know, whatever it is. We do a lot of imperatives to our children. Very familiar with those. It is very important when we think about the fruit of the Spirit that we do not get the imperative in front of the indicative. God does not command us to go out and to be faithful simply. Now, he does in the scriptures over and over again. And the point of this sermon is not, and the point of this passage and the point of faithfulness is not, isn't faithfulness great? Or go be faithful. You guys sure aren't faithful enough. Could you just like get it together and be faithful? No. Instead, the point is this, that God is faithful. And our faithfulness is a reflection of his faithfulness. Our faithfulness to our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers is a reflection of the faithfulness that we have received and experienced by God. You cannot give what you do not have. I say this to the high school students probably too much. Many of them are trying to live the Christian life without knowing Christ. And it's killing them. Because they're trying to give what they don't have. You cannot be faithful unless God has been faithful to you. Think of it like the sun and the moon. Have you ever been out in the country when it's really dark, but there's a full moon? And the moon is shining so brightly that you can even cast a shadow at night? I've seen that. I've experienced it. I've seen it happen. Does the moon have any light of its own? No, it's just a gray rock. It's not even that reflective. Right? But the sun is so powerful that when it reflects off even the dull gray rock of the moon, it lights up the night sky. Our faithfulness is a reflection of God's faithfulness. So how faithful is God? Just how faithful? Well, he tells us in Isaiah 49. He says this. I'm going to start in verse 14, and you can turn there if you wish. It's on page 775 in the Pew Bible. It's just a few verses. It says this, but Zion said, this is Isaiah 49, verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Notice how God responds. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Now it's Mother's Day. I think it's appropriate that we talk about mothers for a second. And I want to recognize something very quickly, which is not everyone has a great relationship with their mother. And not everyone, maybe people in here would say, I did not have a good mother, or my mother didn't love me well. I want you to know that I see you and hear you in that. It is a stereotype, however, that mothers will go to great lengths to defend their children. This is why one of the scariest things that you can run into in the woods is bear cubs, right? You run into bear cubs in the woods, you need to leave quickly because the mama is around. And she's not going to cozy up to you and hand you a Coca-Cola if she finds you, right? realize I'm mixing like woods and polar bears there, but whatever. Give me a break. What is God saying in Isaiah 49? He's saying, who's the most faithful person you know? It's probably your mom, faithful to you. Even if she forgot you, I will remember you. Even if she neglected you, even if she said, I will have no more compassion on you, I will remember you. He's more faithful than the most faithful example that we can create. And here's the thing, okay, is that God is not only faithful to us, prepositions matter, he is also faithful for us. This is where I want to wind it down. We've got a lot in this service, and there's a lot more to be said about this, but there's a very weird thing that happens in Genesis 15, strange to us, where God visits Abram, and he says, I want you to take these certain animals, a heifer, a goat, a ram. I want you to cut them in half. Cut these animals in half. Take a couple of birds and kill them and create a trench in the middle of these halves of these animals and let the blood run down into this trench. And already many of us are like, I don't know, I might have passed out. Just, you know, I've never done anything like that. But this is a very common occurrence. Abram knew exactly what God wanted him to do. He asked him to establish what we call a covenant, a covenant. And the way, the reason that Abram knew that is because that was a practice that had been used before Abram. This wasn't when the covenants were invented. God is co-opting something that already exists. It's an agreement. If myself and you, if we were to make an agreement, make a covenant, we would take those animals and we would cut them in half, and we let the blood run into a trench, and you and I would go arm in arm or hand in hand. We would walk through that blood. We'd walk through it. Sounds gross, right? But what are we saying when we make that covenant? We're saying this. If I break my side of this deal that we're making, whatever deal it is, do to me like we've done to these animals. Kill me. Kill me if I break my side. And you're saying, if you and I were making this covenant, you're saying, kill me if I break my side. It is an intense bond. And God says, I'm going to make a covenant with you, Abram. Go and kill these pieces. But then, this is the best part. God causes a deep sleep to fall on Abram. And he has a dream. Right? He has this dream. And in the dream, there is this smoking pot and this torch of fire. And they walk through, or they travel through the pieces. They do. Right? And then he wakes up. Now, when God revealed himself to lead the Israelites through the wilderness, how did he reveal himself? By day, it was a pillar of smoke. And by night, it was a pillar of fire. God walks through these pieces two times. Please hear this. Maybe for the first time this morning. God looks at Abram as he looks at you and he says, if I break this covenant, do to me as we've done to these animals. If you break this covenant, do to me as we have done to these animals. That's what we're celebrating this morning when we have communion. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. And he has come to fulfill our side of the covenant. God was always faithful to us. But he has come to be faithful for us. To give us the gift of faith. So that we have no reason to boast, but we look at our own faith and our own faithfulness and we say it is a mere reflection of what has been done for me in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I want to be with you even if it kills me. Even though it will kill me, I want you to be mine. I want to write your name on my hands. I mean, it's exactly what he tells his disciples when they go to the table. What does he say? He says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the remission of sins. It is a testimony to his faithfulness. Do you need to be a faithful friend, a faithful spouse, a faithful parent, a faithful son or daughter, brother, sister, a faithful employee or employer? Yes. But you will only exercise that faithfulness when you have found the God who was faithful to you when you were faithless. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, your steadfast love, your new mercies. Lord, show us your faithfulness and help us to reflect it in all that we do. We pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.